Many of you are at your home on the Lord's Day, and I am here preaching to pretty much an empty room to a video camera. Although thankful to the Lord for technology, we are unable at this time to meet corporately, unable to pray together in the same location, unable to sing to the Lord in one place. We cannot all see each other face to face as we do week after week. This should indeed break our hearts. Let these things marinate in your hearts this morning. Pray that the Lord would work in your life through this time, that He would cultivate in us a great appreciation for the things I have just listed, for the means of grace, great thankfulness for who God is and what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we have been going through Ephesians this morning, I'm going to take a brief detour and go to the Psalms. For in a time of need, in a time of crisis, in a time of spiritual drought, whatever it may be, we go to the book of Psalms. I'd invite you to turn to Psalm 93 this morning. Psalm 93. I'll read it. I'll pray for us this morning. And I want us to see three main things from this psalm. That Yahweh, that is, the Lord, rules over the earth, that He rules over the floods, as we will see from the Word of God, and that He rules and reigns over His people. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves, more than the sound of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let us pray. God, indeed, these are bizarre times from our perspective, O Lord. God, that You would use this word this morning to penetrate our hearts, that Your name would be glorified and honored, that we would be touched as we need to be, that You would bring us all to our knees before You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 93 is an enthronement psalm. It's part of a group of psalms, 93 through 100 and Psalm 47. These psalms affirm Yahweh's rule over the earth. Psalm 93 gives praise to the Lord as King over all. King over all the earth. The ruler of the universe. And that the Lord is superior to all in opposition. This psalm opens up with the speaking of majesty and strength of the Lord. In fact, there are several attributes mentioned in this psalm. Not only majesty and strength, but also the immutability of God, that He does not change, and that God is everlasting or eternal. In the two first verses alone, we see the way or nature of the reign of the Lord. We find the characteristics of the Lord's kingly rule, and at the same time, these are attributes of the Lord as well. Majesty, power, everlastingness, immutability. The Lord indeed reigns over all. the rule of the Lord who is sovereign. The Lord reigns. He is emphatically declared king over everything. He is clothed with majesty. The fact that the Lord reigns is obvious and evident in creation and in redemption of man. The Lord reigns. Yahweh reigns. There is much to mention about this name in the Hebrew, Yahweh, the proper name of God. But here we will focus on one thing, His sovereign lordship. The text indeed says, Yahweh reigns, or translated in English as we say in our vernacular, the Lord reigns. God is the sovereign Lord, the supreme Lord who rules over all. The second word here, reigns, in the Hebrew, it means king. So the Lord is king. We all can understand what a king is. We know what an earthly king is. Much more so is the Lord of majesty. He is king and rules over everything. Even now as we face this crisis in the world, where it seems that everyone is affected on some level by this virus, how do we find our disposition before God this morning? As He is ruler of all, even the current circumstances that we are going through. He is clothed with majesty. Majesty has to do with authority and dignity. We're familiar with the phrase, Your Majesty, spoken to kings and queens, a title given to them, a temporary title for a temporary individual on earth, as they are clothed with majestic earthly robes for a season of life. But God is eternally clothed with majesty. He reigns gloriously. Matthew Henry says, the majesty of earthly princes compared with God's terrible majesty is but like the glimmerings of a glowworm compared with the brightness of the sun when he goes forth in his strength. The majesty of God resulted in a response of awe in the Scriptures, leaving men speechless, as if dead before Him. We see this in Isaiah chapter 6. We're familiar with this passage, verse 1 through 5. I'll read it. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Isaiah says, Woe is me, for I am ruined. This is his reaction. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. A reaction of awe before God. The Lord indeed has clothed and girded Himself with strength. His power, all things under His control. He does not receive strength from an outside source. He is strength. He reigns over all with power and might. Creation displays His handiwork, His power, confirming His rule. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 reads, Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for You. And speaking of the reign and majesty of God. We see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and He is called the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, a King above all kings, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, loves us, those who are born again, and released us from our sins by His blood." Oftentimes we think we rule our lives from our own thrones. We may live like we rule, but we do not. And indeed, we are not sovereign. People do not like being out of control. So when our lives seem out of control, and because of the most recent events, do we look to the Lord who is in control? How do we react? How are we reacting now, this last week? Are we grumbling and complaining? Are we looking to the Lord who is in control? For God has decreed all things, even this virus that has come and hit the world. Listen to what Steve Lawson says. "Blind fate, good luck, or bad karma does not influence human affairs. There are no accidents whatsoever. The Lord reigns." Again, I'll read that. "Blind fate, good luck, or bad karma does not influence human affairs. There are no accidents whatsoever. The Lord reigns." Another quote from Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He says, "There is nothing for which the children of God ought more earnestly to contend than the dominion of their Master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of His own hands, the throne of God, and His right to sit upon that throne. On the other hand, there is no doctrine more hated by worldlings," he says. "Men will allow God to be everywhere except on His throne." Again, that last sentence. "Men will allow God to be everywhere except on His throne." So in other words, people may be okay with God, so to speak, as it were, until hearing that God is in charge, that He is reigning, that He is in control. People like to be in control. As we see now, there are things that most people, if not everyone, are affected with that is out of our control. The Scriptures say, indeed, here, "Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Permanently settled, because God created it." The world is firmly established by the Lord who reigns, by God the Creator. God is Creator. This is in contrast with every other view of how the earth was formed and the origin of man. But the Bible has the answers for us. The world is firmly established. This speaks of the sovereign rule of the Lord over all. He has the whole world in His hands. The world may seem now as if it is coming to an end. We even hear the talk of apocalyptic preparedness or whatever. But this is not, as we have seen, the end of the world. When Jesus returns, then we know that the end is here. The 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 has something to say about the coming of the Lord. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." Thieves don't give us a time when they're going to show up. They show up unannounced. They show up when we do not expect. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And then the earth and its works will be burned up. And the Scripture says here also in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, as he just mentioned, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What sort of people ought Grace Covenant Church of Litchfield, New Hampshire be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. In verse 13, but according to His promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is what we are looking for, His promise. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Do we live with this urgency? Do we live with fervency in the Lord? Urgency and fervency. Praying that God would use this time, use this virus, use these parameters that we have over our life now to cause us to live with urgency for the Lord and fervency for the Lord in this parentheses of time as we wait and expect the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Scriptures say here in verse 2 in Psalm 93, your throne is established from of old. The Lord who reigns, who is King, who has a throne, who rules from His throne, it's a throne that's established from of old. It's already established. It is set up. God rules. It's established over all creation. Absolutely nothing happens that is outside the Lord's sovereign will. Earthly kings come and earthly kings go. We've seen that. We read about it from years past. Presidents are voted in and presidents are voted out. Yet God rules from everlasting. The throne of the Lord is a stable throne. Instability across this world. Instability in every country. Instability here in our own country. But the throne of the Lord is a stable throne. One ruler, one king, everlasting. He is, as the Scripture says here in verse 2, you are from everlasting. No dynasty compares to the everlasting dominion of the Lord. Every other ruler, every other rule, every other monarch, other king, authority is temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the Lord is from everlasting. He rules and reigns eternally. These words, reigning, majesty, strength, throne, all words that speak of a rule and kingship of God. So, indeed, God rules over all things. He rules over the earth. But secondly, He rules over the floods. The floods of life. The NIV says the seas instead of floods here. So we could either seas or floods, the same point is getting across. The chaos and turmoil of the world. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. the chaos and turmoil of the world over which the Lord reigns are described in these verses. There is the implication in this verse of imminent and rising danger, as you would see with a flood. Imminent and rising danger. Bodies of water in the Jewish culture were identified with chaos times and uncertainty. The sea is always changing. If you've ever been to the ocean, you've ever been in a storm on the water, you'll see that it seems to be out of control, changing. It can be whimsical. It can be unpredictable. Restless waves. Speaking of a continually changing and restless world. Although bodies of water can be calm, floods indeed are tumultuous, able to destroy, to take away life, to ruin. Notice the repetition in verse 3. Three times floods are mentioned, the word, or seas if you have it in the NIV. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. Whatever specifically the seas or floods are describing in these verses, theologians have a few different perspectives where they come from on this. Spurgeon says it's the voices of men in opposition to God and the kingdom of God, which makes sense because there is much verbal opposition from those who would be enemies of God. And we see in the next verse the word sounds of many waters, so it brings us to what we might hear. So that makes sense. Or this is a metaphor of the nations, which would be in opposition to Israel in the Old Testament. So either way, whatever it is exactly, we can be assured that it is a threat. Floods threaten, terror comes, and the waves get larger and more destructive. Real danger. If you've ever been through a hurricane and you've stood on the shore, right on the beach, and watched before it came, you see the seas getting bigger and bigger and bigger before you are forced to evacuate. Category 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. And you see the ocean getting more and more just out of control, as it seems. More and more rough. The waters rise up. The waves pound and pound. That sometimes it could be describing of things happening in our lives. But the seas are not, or the floods are not, controlled by some independent force. The real seas or the real oceans in the world. Not by this mystical figure, Mother Nature. No. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 says, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. There was a great storm on the sea." And remember in Matthew, when Jesus showed His power over the sea, Matthew chapter 8, I'll read it for you. When He, Jesus, got in the boat, His disciples followed Him. "And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing,' they said. And He said, 'Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?' Then He, Jesus, got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm." He is in control over even the ocean and the wind. Power over it. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This COVID-19 is not out of God's control. So as God is in control of the ocean and sea, that He has power over it. He has power over the storms in our life. Many of us may be in a storm right now, or we all are, with this circumstance, the situation we're going through. And not to diminish the real death that's taking place there and the real hardships through this. It's a real thing. As we go through this, those who the storms of life, those who cling to the rock, the storms cannot destroy ultimately, cannot destroy the soul. Those who look to higher ground is where we must look in a flood. We look to higher ground. Let me get to higher ground. That is, to the Lord. Those will not be submerged in the flood waters. For the flood waters at times rise and rise. Verse 4, more than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. So more than the sounds of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, of the ocean, more than all of that, the Lord on high is mighty. I consider Psalm 29. You may turn there for a moment. Psalm 29 speaks of similar language here. Psalm 29, verses 3 and 4. I'll start in verse 1. A psalm of David in Psalm 29, verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Just recognize the Lord. Glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. And verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. So in all the noise of what's going on in the world now, the voice of the Lord through His Word is over all. The Lord is mightier than a stormy sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful and majestic. What the Lord says goes. The rising floods of the world cannot usurp the authority of the Lord. He rules and reigns. Nothing can overrule or override or defeat His purposes. The Lord exercises His power over the waters, over the chaos of this world. The Lord is mightier. So we ought fear not what comes our way day by day. Instead, we ought to fear God. Be in reverent fear of the Lord, so that when the storms continually come, when the waves continually come in our life, we can agree with Charles Spurgeon, who says, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. That's where we turn, even now, is to the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through these times, through all times. And thirdly, the Lord reigns. Rules over His people with His Word and in His church. It says here in verse 5, your testimonies. Since we're at 29, let's go to 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 10. Because in verse 5 of Psalm 93 where we are, it says, your testimonies are fully confirmed. Okay, Psalm 19, I'm going to start in verse 1. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture, general revelation here. Psalm 19, verse 1. Creation is a preacher to us. Psalm 19, verse 1, another Psalm of David. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. What a picture. It continues. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. The power of God. Verse 6, it is rising. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The omnipresence of God. The law. Here's some attributes in the beautifulness of God's Word. Special revelation. Verse 7. Here we are. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony. There's the word testimony. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, which enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Let's continue on in verse 10. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them, presumptuous sins, not rule over me. Then I will be blameless. Let Psalm 19 be one of our psalms as we go through this period of time. To be blameless. And I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart in this time, O God, when the world seems to be going crazy, when people are hoarding, when people are being cutthroat towards one another, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your testimonies are fully confirmed in Psalm 93, verse 5. The local or national news are not fully confirmed. The testimonies of God, His Word, are. The news, the local news and national news, as we watch some of these press conferences, it changes day by day. There is no hope found from spiritually dead men trying to give us worldly hope in a time of crisis. Yes, there is great wisdom from physicians and those as we go through this period of time and things we want to do to keep us safe and others safe. But ultimate hope comes from the Word of God. From the Lord. Our hope is found in the Lord, who does not change, who is immutable. As the world continues in its change, in its trying to give us false hope, God does not change. And His Word does not change. His testimonies do not change. The Lord leads us by His Word, His law. We must follow Him. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let that indeed be our encouragement as we go through these days or weeks or months, however long it is, that His Word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That we wouldn't be obsessed with the world trying to tell us what is going to happen. His testimonies, His promises are truth because He is faithful. His testimonies are fully confirmed. And holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Matthew Henry again, he says, God's church is His house. It is a holy house, cleansed from sin, consecrated by God, and employed in His service. I'll read this again. Matthew Henry, he says, God's church is His house. It is a holy house, cleansed from sin, consecrated by God, and employed in His service. Holiness befits His house. Your house, O God, O Lord, forevermore. His house is the temple in the Old Testament, in the New Covenant. It's the church. He reigns over our lives. And when we respond in worship, when we obey Him, when we shine brightly in a time such as now, as brightly as lights in this world, His power on display through us because of the Holy Spirit working in us, His glory will be made known to people who are without Christ. They will see the hope that we have in our lives. We live in a time where people are afraid. Some people are panicking. Some are concerned about getting sick from COVID-19, understandably so. People are concerned about spreading it to others. Understandable. Many are concerned that people have died. People have died from this. That they are dying and will die from this. These are real, genuine concerns. Finances, jobs, people being let go, unemployment, real concerns. Real concerns. But there is also a lack of concern. There is a lack of concern for eternal matters. Perhaps some of us in the most recently in these last weeks and the following weeks, we're concerned about how this will affect our way of living. Not financially, but what we're used to. What we're used to doing. Whatever we're creatures of habit with. We're concerned about that on some level. But are we concerned for eternal matters? Are we reaching out to the lost in this time? Since people indeed are thinking on death. What will it take to make death more real to us? Mortality. The coffin is a powerful preacher. Are our ears listening? We are not God. We are not in control. Life is short and we all will die. Anything short of hell is the mercy of God. We live in an entitlement society. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. And if I don't get my way, I'm going to make everyone know about it. The only thing we're entitled to is hell. For we've all broken God's laws and sinned against our Creator. Cosmic treason, as R.C. Sproul would call it. That's what we're entitled to. When people are hoarding, we should be sharing. We should be blessing. We should be praying, Christians. When people are fighting, we need to be praying. We need to be people of reconciliation. As the virus continues to spread, the gospel must spread as well. If we think of this virus, some will get it. Unfortunately, some will die from it. But not all are sick in this. We see not all will get this. But sin spreads to all men. All are sinners. No one will escape because they are sinners. We are sinners by nature. And fall short of the glory of God. There is no quarantine from our sin and from the consequences of sinning against a holy God who reigns over all. Death spread to all men. We read about that in Romans chapter 5. Because of Adam in the garden who sinned. We're all born with a sin nature. We are sinners. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There may be an escape from getting an illness or a death sentence from COVID-19, but there is no escape from the consequences of your sin except through the redemption work of Jesus Christ. In Him and Him alone is eternal life. That's who you need to turn to today. Repentance toward God. Godly sorrow. A changed life. a change of heart, a change of direction, repentance towards God, sorrow over the sins that we have committed against Him, breaking His holy law, rejecting Christ, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Christ, who was God in the flesh, robed in majesty, the sinless Son of God, bore the wrath we deserved when He suffered and died on the cross for sinners who would turn to Him, so that all who would come to Christ by repentance and faith and would bow the knee to Jesus would have eternal life. All would turn to Him would have eternal life. That is the message that is needed today. Christ. That is the hope of all as this country and as this world goes through this. It was the hope years past. It will be the hope in the future. It is the hope today. Christ Jesus, the Lord. My question for anyone who may be watching is, do you know Him? Do you know Christ? Does He know you? Have you really turned to Him? My prayer also will be that for our church, during this time, that we would be agonizing and aching because we cannot all meet together like this and worship the one true God together. Yet thankful for the technology He has given us. That men of the homes would step up. That they would lead their families during this time. That we would be men of the book, God-fearers in this time, and that God's Word would be made known. And that we would be more concerned with the lost now than ever in our lives. By the grace of God, that He would do that in our hearts. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we would honor and glorify Him through this time. Let's pray. God, You rule and You reign. And You are coming back again. Do we live that way, Jesus? Do we live for the return of the King? Heavenly minded, but yet doing Your will on earth, O Lord. God, let us not grumble and hide out during this time, O Lord. Let us use this time and redeem this time, Lord. Even if we have to stay in our homes. Even as we want to do our best and our duty to do what the government has asked us to help to not hurt others, O Lord. Potentially, O God. Lord, that You would use this time, O God, to give us a hunger for You, a thirst for You, a desire to be together with the brothers and sisters in Christ once again. Oh Lord, let us be missing this day, oh Lord. Let us continue to treat the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, as it was intended, oh God, for Your honor and Your glory, oh Lord. Lord, use this time for us to honor You in all things, Lord. Let us not waste it. In Jesus' name, amen.